is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
So it seems like the reoccurring theme of the emails that we're getting and of the what are you doing? you look like fucking Nicolas Cage in the fucking
very nice skull. It's
a beautiful skull, man.
Beautiful. It's wearing my hat.
Well, on that note, welcome to the Locker Room Podcast. I'm Tom.
Oh my God.
I'm Matt.
If only and you can make the skull's mouth mute. Yeah.
Hello, God. Hey, I'm confused. Hi, I'm Marco. Hello, everybody.
Oh man. So, in a bit of a just, the schedule has been shit for the last 3 weeks.
It's been 2020.
Yes,
the schedule. 2020 is a cuss word.
Yes. Yeah. 2020.
It's all 2020 up.
So we were going to talk about everything that was going on in Armenia, but our doctor or our certified nurse practitioner had to bug out at the last minute because somebody flew into town. So we had also scheduled a QAnon follow-up, but then our unnamed source had to go to work. And our schedules didn't match up. So I was scrambling at the last minute and I realized it's October. It's almost the end of October. It's almost Halloween.
Yeah.
And by the way, I promised my wife, she says, okay, I know you're going to be recording the podcast tonight, but you know, if you're going to have something to drink, can you just have one? So I told her I would.
Nice.
Nice gigantic fucking 20, like 32 ounce.
It's just one. It's a martini the size of a Chili's margarita glass.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
All right.
So I thought it would be interesting to start off with just some of our favorite horror movies that really did scare us as a kid. We touched on it a little bit when Matt shared his poltergeist story. But I wanted to take that discussion down the road a little bit to what horror movies scared us, why, right? And then as an adult, when you look back or when you think about movies like that, which ones are the ones, which style are the ones that creep you out and why? In other words, are you more scared of a vampire, a demon, or a deranged serial killer, right? So we're going to talk about all the possibilities today, and the boys don't know anything about it. So we're just going to play this off the cuff. I've got some notes and we'll go through. And as we go through, as we mention them, I want to talk about, as we always like to do, a little bit of true crime because, you know, life's fucked up and we deal with it by laughing. I want to talk about some of the actual fucked up shit behind some of these favorite movies because people would be surprised to learn that there's quite a few fictional characters that have their roots in real life shit that's probably worse than the story.
So, yeah.
Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
Too Why fucking not? Bad if it doesn't. Because that's well, what we're doing.
At this point in time, we got to roll, so.
Okay, so let's start with when you finally started watching horror movies, right? How old were you and what's the first one you really remember watching?
Oh,
would you consider Jaws a horror movie or like a suspense movie?
I would kind of consider Jaws a horror thriller. I think so.
Yeah.
It's always surprising to me that because there was no such thing as PG-13, that Jaws is PG.
Well, I mean, back in those days, you needed some titties to pop out in order to make things go from PG to R. So, yeah. I mean.
The parental guidance was, yes, son, those are nice.
Yeah, exactly. yes, son, those are real, and they are nice. Daddy, should I be watching this?
So the first one you saw was Jaws?
Yeah, that's the first one that I can remember. It was Jaws, and I was, man, I want to say that I was still in Venezuela. I was, like, really young. I don't even know. Like, thinking back, I'm like, I don't even know how the fuck I actually watched it. But I remember watching it.
What year did you move here?
I mean, the math is there. Like, 85, right before 86.
Okay, so the movie came out in, I think, 76? Right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And then you had the delayed translation of the times. Things weren't. By the way, for all you folks listening, watching, and or listening at home, back in the day, for a movie to come out in South America or in a foreign country, it would be months. It wasn't like nowadays where the release all happens at the same time. No, they would have the film and then they would send it down. Then a local studio would do the dubbing. And then they would, yeah.
Like, ooh, how do you say we're going to need a bigger boat in Venezuelan?
That would be Spanish.
You always told me it's not regular Spanish. So I'm just being.
No, I always said it is a slightly different dialect than Mexican Spanish. There is a difference. You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, like, why getting somebody from New Orleans or from, you know, from the Bayou.
Don't you dare try to compare that. It's not English. I did just guarantee.
Yeah, sure. I'll show them. you guys ever watched The Waterboy?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's the world's most disgusting, outrageous Cajun accent ever.
Farmer Fran, dude. That guy was just amazing in that whole fucking movie. So anyways, that actor is just mind blowing.
How do you say we're gonna need a bigger boat in Spanish?
Vamos a necesitar una lancha más grande.
Say it like the chief, all scared.
Vamos. I'm like breaking into a sexy voice. I'm like, vamos a necesitar un bote más grande.
It kind of works that way too.
Kind of does, actually.
That, for those of you that don't know.
Mira. That would be me though. Like, it'd be the three of us in a boat. I'd be like, mira. Vamos a necesitar un bote más grande.
Oh.
No joda.
So I could imagine that one scared me too, because I didn't, like, we talked about swimming and being alone in the water. Yep. And so I would guess, if I'm doing the math right, it came out in 75. I checked. Mm-hmm. If Jaws comes out in 75, you move here
85.
Okay. So the max you could have been if you saw it in Venezuela would have been 9 or 10 years old. And then
exactly.
So
I mean, I probably saw, like, maybe like 6 years old, I'm assuming then. Maybe like 7 years old. So, yeah.
Yes. So I don't know that that's based on anything other than people getting eaten by sharks.
Man, I was an impressionable young vine swinger. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have giant. We have piranhas to worry about. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have piranhas and anacondas and pumas to worry about. Iguanas, because, you know, are not friendly. But
tasty.
But tasty on the steak. But man, we didn't have no fucking gigantic shark, and we're coastal. So my growing up, some of our family owned coastal property, and we used to go to the beach. Yeah, and go fuck around. Nope. Marco, go with your cousins. Nah, I saw that American. I saw that American shark. That thing looks like it can travel far. I'm good.
Yeah. I'm good. How about you, Matt?
I gotta stick with the Poltergeist movie. I think I don't know if that's the first one I saw, but it scarred me enough to where I think that's the first one I saw. Because when did that come out? That came out.
He did Poltergeist after Jaws. So it had to be like 78. And actually it's funny because, people always talk about, Steven Spielberg produced it, but Toby Hooper, directed it, because Toby Hooper had done, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And so they said, well, let's have Toby Hooper do Poltergeist. And No, in fact, Toby Hooper was hired because the studio said Steven Spielberg couldn't direct like two movies in a year, and he had just directed something else. So he hired Toby Hooper, paid him a salary to sit there on set, and then directed the movie. But what's crazy is that Poltergeist was, going back to little weird facts about, you know, the true stories behind real things, there was no true Poltergeist necessarily, but the original script for E.T. was going to be an asshole and was going to terrorize that family. And
he did. You heard that family. So that neck popped up, and then that giant fucking finger, and every man in the fucking room is like, "Well, don't I feel fucking underwhelming after seeing all that?" And that's just his finger. Can you imagine what kind of heat he's packing? If that's his fucking finger, how big?
Hey, we saw E.T. naked. He packed no heat. I think that was the heat was his finger. That's why it glowed. Hey.
No. That motherfucker could be tucking like a fucking dry queen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he could have been.
They have really big feet tape too. So.
Rooty.
See?
E-Paul.
You see that neck? Yo, and yeah. First of all, hey, Paul. And furthermore, he's an alien. How do we know that fucking neck fucking bob thing? Maybe that's his dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe this is like, and you're like, oh.
And he's like, so he sees Drew Barrymore and he gets a giant neck boner.
Yo, I'm not saying he wasn't perverted. You know what I'm saying? I'm not putting out there that he wasn't a fucking alien perv. Maybe that's the whole reason why he came out of this motherfucker. We never found out why he was here. He was just here, and next thing you know, he's in a little girl's closet.
Scariest movie to from Jaws to E.T. because clearly you've got some issues with it.
I'm just saying, fuck that motherfucker.
So mine was, I think the first one I remember really like watching as a legit horror movie was Nightmare on Elm Street. And I remember, because my parents were divorced, so but you had two kinds of kids back in our day, right? You had the kids whose parents were married and the kids whose parents were divorced, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you knew whose parents would, because of the divorce, let you watch or do things that the other parent wouldn't. So you would always go over, hang out at that parent's house. So that was my mom. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out Friday night. So I just thought I'd rent you a movie or two, you know, and you could stay in, you know, your grandparents' bedroom at your grandparents' house and hang out with them and watch whatever you want. And I was like, whatever I want. And so I picked like RoboCop and all those other, you know, gory movie, like action packed movies that, you know, dad wouldn't let me see. But I remember one time I picked Nightmare on Elm Street, and the idea that some burned dude with knives on his hand could get you in your sleep, and that, you know, like it wasn't like, you know, okay, if I just go to sleep, when I wake up in the morning, it'll be fine because it'll be daylight. No, it was like, oh, I don't want to go to sleep. I got to sit here awake all night and, you know, cross my fingers that the sun comes up. That scared me.
see, that's another perverted motherfucker over there. You know, see, she was in the bathtub minding her own business. You know, that hand comes up out of nowhere. He could have came out of anywhere. He could have came out of the shower. He could have came out, you know, he could have been like the guy from Scream, you know what I'm saying? And Ghostface.
We know Freddie was a freaking, you know.
Oh yeah, he was great. Yeah, he was a
pro. Oh yeah.
Okay. True stories behind real things. The McMartin preschool case that we discussed on our QAnon episode, where all the kids accused the owner's son of molesting them and taking them and doing satanic rituals in a secret cave under the school and all of that. Mm-hmm. That case ended up in, I believe, a mistrial. So the guy who all these kids accused of sexual assault and of torturing them got off on a technicality, right? Around the same time, Wes Craven reads a story in the newspaper about a Cambodian family, right? They escaped Cambodia, escaped like the killing fields, like Pol Pot, you know, all that like awful Khmer Rouge, Vietnam War stuff. Get here.
Were they on holiday though? I'm just saying, were they on holiday in Cambodia?
No, not when they were in Cambodia. But when they get here, their son is plagued by nightmares, right? And he says in his nightmares, there's this thing chasing after him and trying to get him, right? And he told his parents, I don't want to go to sleep, because if I go to sleep and this thing gets me, it's going to kill me, right? And the parents are like, you're fine. And they talked him through it and they counseled him and they did all that stuff that you're supposed to do as a parent. And the kid went to sleep and then started screaming in terror from a nightmare. And by the time the parents heard him scream, got up and made it to his room, the fucking kid was dead.
Whoa.
Right? So causes?
Do we have causes of death?
We have probably massive
cardiac arrest.
I mean, technically the reason for everyone dying is cardiac arrest. That just means your heart stops. you know, it's interesting because if you take the McMartin preschool case, which is a child molester, Satan worshiping weird guy that's what the kids accused him of. And then all you have to do is add that he gets off into technicality. So the parents decide to take justice into their own hands and kill him, burn him in a boiler room, right? And then he comes back to haunt the kids' dreams and kills them in their sleep. All Wes Craven did was take the McMartin preschool trial case and this story he'd read about this Cambodian boy who died out of a nightmare and married them and wrote Freddy Krueger.
And that's called plagiarism.
No, that's called using your brain.
That's called good references. Hey, yeah, so if that was to happen to you, and no school really has a boiler anymore, how would you and the other parents, how would the three of us take Freddy Krueger out?
Wait, you know what I'm saying? the original or the demon of the nightmare Freddy Krueger?
No, the original, when he was human.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, going back to we didn't have a boiler situation in
hypothetically
the same high school. Well, hypotheticals, yeah.
Yeah.
Purely for educational purposes.
You know, I wouldn't have to do anything to him because I'm sure he'd just go missing.
Yeah, I'd make it slow, slow and painful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking cut his eyelids off.
Oh, so we're going to
so he can't close his eyes, right?
I immediately regret this decision. Okay, go ahead.
And then maybe get a curling iron and lube that up just a little bit.
We're going medieval on this motherfucker. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Oh. Insert it into his ass, then plug it in and turn it on so it heats up slowly.
Boys and girls, how much Jameson drink tonight?
No, I'm just water.
Well, okay, so I've actually, as a father, I've thought about this.
I'm not done.
Oh, go. Jeez. Oh, no, no.
Wow. He's like, gentlemen, I have the floor.
Wait a minute. So while that's
I have not on, yielded my time, Senator.
Yeah.
Give
yourself some copper wire, like the thick gauge, and you shove that in between the fingernails, right? And
what
then
the fuck
and then heat happening? That up on the end, because that conducts heat really well, so that'll just heat up there. And then maybe to top it off, if you were happen to have some dogs and you didn't feed them for a few days and you four-point this motherfucker down on his back and then put a couple cans of Alpo on his junk.
Pigs are better than dogs. Pigs will eat the bones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking eating them. We're just talking just biting his junk off.
Oh.
Oh, we're not done. So we're not done. Okay. So this is not the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Ladies and gentlemen, the opinions of Matthew are not necessarily those of the Locker Room Podcast.
Your complaints, please feel free to email your complaints and or concerns about his mental well-being too.
You can call me.
His email address?
Yeah. My phone number is 867-9309.
You mean 867-5309?
867-5309.
5309.
Ladies and gentlemen, he says he hasn't been drinking. You make the call.
I've been up a lot today.
Just I always thought about taking a thermometer and sliding it up the rapist's pee hole and then flicking the side.
Ooh, of the shaft. Yeah.
That's what I thought about.
Okay.
Oh, would you use a rectal or an oral thermometer for that?
Which one's longer and has more mercury?
I don't know. You know what the major difference is between the two, though?
Mm. No.
The taste.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
So back to horror movies.
Yeah. So those were the three that scared us the most. So now as you watch horror movies as an adult, I remember, and I'll see if Mark remembers this. The horror movie genre kind of soured because you had Nightmare on Elm Street 7 and
right.
Yeah.
Jason Takes Manhattan and Jason Goes Jason to Space.
Versus, wasn't it like Jason versus Freddy versus Freddy Jason?
Yeah. Right, right, right.
I was waiting for Jason go gets an ice cream cone. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Jason meets the Muppets. You know?
They were just like, yeah, right. Oh.
Jason, Freddy, and Mike Myers have a threesome. I mean, there was that.
What
did that what not happen?
I think he was in the section of the movie of the video, the VHS video store that we all wanted to go into, but we're too young to go into.
Go behind that curtain back in the day,
like little beaded curtain or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right next to fucking Edward Penis Hands and Our Bang instead of Our Gang. Anyways,
yeah. Okay, so the next question is: as adults, have you seen movies that have, and I don't mean scare like you're afraid to turn off the light and go to sleep like you are when you're a kid, because typically that doesn't happen. Although there was my roommate at the time, who y'all remember was on our old podcast, Crew Jones. He fucked me up, and I'll tell you this so that you guys can have time to think of like a movie you saw as an adult that upset you. So I had a roommate, and he has gone to Comic-Con in San Diego every year since like year three or something like that, maybe even year one. And one year we were roommates, he comes back from Comic-Con. He was always coming back from there with weird stuff, because he would meet up with his other nerd friends, and they would be in the pinnacle of nerddom, and they could buy, sell, trade all kinds of cool, you know, shit. And he comes home and he goes, all right, tonight we're going to watch a movie. And I said, oh yeah, what is it? And he goes, well, it's hard to explain. It's kind of like a documentary. And I'm like, about what? And he says, so these three film students go into the woods, mm-hmm. and they're making a documentary about this witch that supposedly haunted these woods, and then they disappeared, and then like 9 months later the cops found a bag full of their footage and cut it together to try and figure out what happened to them. And so he puts on this shitty VHS tape that has just a sticker with a pencil outline that says the Blair Witch Project, and the tracking was all fucked up, and we're watching this thing, and nobody had ever heard of the movie. The movie had not even come out yet. Somehow through the back channels of, you know, being a super film geek nerd, he had gotten a friend to give him a copy of the film as they were shopping it around, trying to distribute it. So we watch it thinking it's real, thinking that these three, and if you watch the film thinking it's real, that movie takes on a whole new level of
that's how I saw it,
right? You remember we were hanging out. Yep. Yeah. So of course he revealed to me like the next morning after I stayed up all night like trying to, you know, use the original encyclopedia, the Encarta. You know, the online, like the original www dial-up modem. I was on there all night trying to look up, you know, this real case. And he told me the next morning that it was a movie, and it was just made to look like that. It was the first time anybody had done a found footage movie, and that it was going to come out in like 9 months when they, you know, got the distribution of it. So of course we decided to invite everybody over and do the exact same thing to them. And Marco, mm-hmm. you were one of them. That's why I said, I don't know if you remembered this.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that very well. And I remember saying, I don't feel right about having watched that. That was my reaction at the end. I was creeped. I was super creeped out. I had a ton of fucking questions. And that just like, when shit starts popping off, I was like, I don't feel right. It's like watching a new version of like Faces of Death. You know, like you're just like, I'm curious in one hand, but in the other hand, I'm so just cool like,
when we were kids.
Kids. That was the jam. If you had a copy of that, you were just it. But
2020 video.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I felt like in the pit of my stomach, I was like, wow, I just watch people get like,
it kind of felt like you murdered. Watched a snuff film.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And
the great thing is when they released it, they kept that going. When they released, finally did the movie, the major release in theaters, they did a limited release in theaters, and they put a hush on all the actors. They were not allowed to do any interviews or anything. I think it was for like a month.
Yeah.
A month while the movie was out.
They had a website up that was dedicated to, you know, finding the missing hikers. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And they would pump information as far as like, oh, there's a new search party that just went out, and volunteers from this section are going out.
Right. Right.
I mean, they did that shit pretty right, man. I got to tell you, that shit was fucked up. They had me.
So Matt, was there one for you?
Matt's all Twister. Twister got me good.
Twister got me good. No, there were two recently that kind of fucked me up a little bit, because I watched Midsommar. Have you seen that?
I've seen the trailer for that and I have no interest.
So I watched it.
It just looks messed up.
In Sweden, about 10 miles away from where that takes place.
Oh, God. So there's this whole new like genre of like Swedish horror films coming out, and they're like really scary. It's like how there was a bunch of scary horror movies coming out of Japan, you know, in the like from 2000 to 2010, you know, Ring and Grudge and all this other stuff. And then it was getting remade from like 2005 to 2015. But now it's like, there's The Lodge, there's Midsommar, Let the Right One In, which that movie, if you haven't seen it, damn, that movie's pretty messed up.
Have to check that out. Yeah, but that one kind of screwed me up because of where I was watching it, and because
you're right next to it.
There, and there's a lot of it's not so far fetched. It's not like a Freddy Krueger or a Jason or something like that. It's regular people that just fucked with these Americans that came over to Sweden to experience Midsommar. So and then the other one that kind of got me, because of the same reason, because it's more of a, it's a kind of realistic kind of thing. It didn't get me as bad. Midsommar probably more, but Heredity was kind of twisted me up a little bit.
That movie, like, it just,
the ending sucked.
Well, that was the thing. Like it was disappointing because it started so strong. Yeah. And then as it starts to unravel, it's not like Psycho. Psycho is one of the greatest horror films ever made, because it starts out slow, and then right in the middle of it, it turns and has the main character murdered in one of the coolest scenes where you think it's really gory, and in fact, they show nothing.
Right.
And then the rest of the movie is figuring out who did it, and, you know, catching the killer, and then the twist at the end is, you know, mind-blowing. That movie, it starts out really strong and then just kind of...
yeah
like really.
But I did get to, we saw it in the theater, and we had everybody back at our place, and where the guest bedroom and the guest bath is, there's a closet that I was standing in that you have to walk by after you get out of the closet, and one of our friends walked by, and as she walked by, I had the closet open a little bit, and I just went, and she fell over. Because, you know, the look, you know that sound that little girl makes in the movie?
Yeah.
I just did that, which woman just went, and it was pitch dark. She fell over. So that was a good payoff for that.
That talking about sounds from a horror movie, that weird fucking, from like the fucking Grudge. Ring, whenever the Grudge. Yeah. That sound, I was just like, what the fuck? It's like a haunted, pissed off frog.
Well, you and I saw Scream in the theater together, Marco. And I remember we were like, okay, Wes Craven, the guy who did the original Nightmare on Elm Street, is finally back doing horror. And we watched it. And we were like, oh, shit. That was good. It was an actually good movie.
Yeah, it was a good... He actually pulled off a good twist at the end.
Right.
You know, if you have not seen the movie by now, then well fuck you. But the whole... the double, you know what I'm saying? The 1-2 punch. You know, that was, I got to give it to him. That was pretty good, because I honestly did not see that coming. There's some of them where you're just like, okay, you know, in your mind, you're like, it could be this or it could be that. And you give yourself credit. You're like, okay, all right, cool. I was like 50% right. You know, I figured it out. It could have been this or that, but I did figure it out. And then that one, I had no fucking idea. And I was like,
Let me tell you right now, though, when I was younger, you know, young man, late teens, early 20s, I saw that movie. And I saw Rose McGowan with her blonde hair and her big old knockers. and she gets cut in half by the garage door so early in the film. And I'm like, no, I don't get to see her running or jumping around the movie anymore. And for a while after that, I held it against that movie. And now the more I hear Rose McGowan talk, I'm like, you should have fucking left her there. She made more sense and was more attractive cut in half hanging from a garage door than she is now.
Oh God. Yeah. That was a hell of a turn she took.
R.I.P. Rose McGowan.
You know what? You know, the clown in Scary Movie when he's under the bed. Yeah, shut up. Shut your whore mouth. Listen to me. First of all, you start off with the take my good hand, child. This is my strong hand. But if you can get past that, first of all, that I know that movie is a comedy. But when you're talking about that clown wrapped his dick around the neck of that motherfucker, was dragging him under the bed. I'm sorry. You can talk about motherfuckers with knives in the fingers. You can talk about machete motherfuckers with a hockey mask on. When you got this fucking clown that all of a sudden his dick whips out and starts choking people with it, and it's gonna pull you underneath the bed to do God knows what to you, I'm out.
Well, that's the point. That's the point at which you're like, can't you just kill me? Do you really have to wrap a dick around my neck and drag me under the bed?
Listen, like, I hope.
Do you have to humiliate me?
I'll do a fucking gainer.
I'll swallow my own head.
Don't
strangle me with a prehensile penis.
I'm telling you, dude. And it's a clown penis at that too. Like, it's a little fucking doll clown penis. Like, I mean, I'm thinking back of actual horror movies, and there has been some fucked up, gruesome, like, ends, like, you know, Freddy Krueger lifting that motherfucker, putting him through the TV. That was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good, like, again.
Welcome to prime time, bitch. Yeah,
right. There's the best fucking one-liners, dude. I don't care who you are. When you're talking about, oh God, that man.
Freddy was the best of one-liners.
Oh yeah, and Robert Englund, his delivery was just fucking just classic.
Yeah. And then you see him without the makeup, and you're like, that motherfucker. Hey. That's the guy that scared me.
Hey, but seriously, like, you look at pictures of fucking Bubba Fett back in the day without his fucking armor on and with his fucking big ass 1970s glasses. You're like, that was the badass motherfucker that everyone loved. The badass motherfucker.
Well, all right. So if we've gone with what scared us as kids and what scared us as adults. So now I want to ask, if you know, if I tell you, you want to know the movie, and I'll tell you a movie, and I want you to tell me either what real life killer it was based on, or I can give you an incident, and then you can try and figure out what movies they based on it.
I think the incident, because if you tell me that, yeah, I will have no clue as to what real life.
Yeah, okay. I'm more like, just give me the fucking movie and tell me, like, is it real or not? And then we can guess, and then you can break it down whether it was real or not. I think Matt and I have more of a shot at that. Now you're tossing like 4K pigeons up in the air, you know, and having
give us the incident, and we'll see what movie we think it was.
Okay. The Zodiac Killer. And don't say the movie Zodiac, because I'm talking about there was a movie that came out that they loosely based the killer on the Zodiac.
Oh.
It's not a horror movie. I thought I'd start.
You know there are some people.
This is easy? You're starting easy? Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we're fucked, Marco.
Yeah, we're
I thought you'd want to go with the movie and see if it was real or fake, like Marco said, but you went the hard way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, because that sounds fun. And you know, there's people sitting at home right now that are yelling at their fucking they're listening to this on, like, idiots, it's so and such. And oh my God, to which I say, fuck you.
Pretty please. Just, sugar on top. Go fuck yourself.
Guys. If you're listening to this, just remember, these are notes you should be taking. And what I mean by that, when you wind up on the cash cab,
yes,
it comes down to horror trivia. Thomas is the one that you want for that. That's the one you want.
I was everybody's phone-a-friend.
Yep.
Even if it was 2 o'clock in the morning and you were trying to settle a bet at a bar, and I was asleep because I had to work the next morning.
Sorry. Sorry, I apologize profusely, but
okay.
It had to happen.
I will tell you, we'll go back to the other format. The Zodiac Killer inspired
God, your
the
fucking
movie.
Sippy cup is killing me. That's amazing.
What's amazing to me is that it disappears because
it's green. oh, God.
The Zodiac Killer inspired Dirty Harry.
No shit. I never would have guessed that.
So no. the killer in Dirty Harry is, it calls himself Scorpio, which is a sign of the Zodiac.
Right, right.
And he's shooting random people and he's taunting the police with series of letters and bombing a bus and all these things. Those are all things Zodiac really did. The only difference is Zodiac killed like people on Lover's Lane, you know, and kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's a running theme with some of these killers. There's a movie called The Town That Dreaded Sundown, and it's based on some real murders in, I think, Arkansas that, you know, was a dude. Like, talk about scary. The first Friday the 13th had Jason with a burlap sack over his head, second Friday the 13th had Jason has a burlap sack over his head with one eye hole cut out and a rope around the neck to hold it down. That was based on what the killer in Arkansas in The Town That Dreaded Sundown, the real case, wore. They said he wore a pillowcase over his head that was tied with a noose, and then he had cut eye holes out, and he just shot motherfuckers on Lover's Lane.
And I'm like,
if you see a guy wearing a sack of some kind with eye holes cut out,
I'm out.
Either going to kill you and your girlfriend or burn a cross on your yard. So fuck that motherfucker up. Just don't. Yep. Don't. Mm-hmm. He's not the mystery guest on a game show if it's, you know, Lover's Lane at 10 o'clock at night. Let's just.
Especially if it's not October 31st.
Right.
There's just too much fucking benefit of the doubt, you know, going around in all these movies in some of these instances. You know what I'm saying? At that point, like, I don't know who this fucker is, and he's coming over here with a hood over his face. You know, he's either, like I say, like Thomas says, he's either going to burn a cross or he's going to fucking try to stab me and my girl. So.
Right, for sure. So, now we're going to go back to the easy way for Marco. Okay. And,
Why is it for me? Matt didn't know either. Shit.
No, I know. But he chose the hard way. You were like, no, I want to go the easy way.
Hell yeah, I do. I knew
this. I always choose the hard way.
We know that. Wow. Your last words are going to be, oh yeah? Watch this.
Watch this.
Okay. So, Exorcist. True or false? Based on a true story or false?
True.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, based on a true story. It was a 13-year-old boy, and the first exorcism they tried to do on him, he apparently ripped his way into the mattress, pulled out a fucking spring from the mattress, and stabbed the priest with it during the exorcism.
Whoa.
Right.
Was this before or after the priest touched him where, you know, in the danger zone?
In his no-no place.
That was after.
I'm just saying.
And it was right before. It was right before the pea soup.
Right. They said that that after that, when they tried to do it the second time, mysterious scratches and an X carved from like underneath the skin appeared. And for a long time, this priest that was involved didn't want to talk about it. But then he ended up like going public at one point. So it was kind of like. True to a point. It's just, you know, the pea soup and the falling down the stairs and I can handle everything in The Exorcist except for what some asshole parent let their 12-year-old daughter do with a crucifix. And then I'm like, okay, at what point, like, do you read the script and go, I don't care how bad my kid wants to be in show business, I ain't letting him do this shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it her? Now, they didn't do a double or anything like that?
So the actress in the makeup could have been a stunt woman, I guess, but whoever it was that was in the makeup had to be saying those words and moving their arms up and down. So, I mean, it is what it is. Okay. Amityville Horror, true or false?
True.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead.
I think the place, the house, essentially the house was that part of it, if I remember correctly, was true, but then the other shit was kind of embellished or based around the place.
So the house is a they actually, to this day, they petitioned the city of Amityville to allow them to change their address, and they remodeled the side of their house so it didn't look like it had eyes and a skull, you know, and stuff like that, because the house is still there to this day and there are people that live in it. But it was kind of twofold, right? So the first family that lived there was this DeFeo family. And one night, their oldest son, and this is what scares me, right? Like, when you talk about real things that could happen, this is what scares me. Their oldest son took a 30-30 lever action and went room to room and just bang, 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 and shot his entire family one at a time. And none of them woke up.
Yeah, that's odd.
That's right? Question them all the best.
Right. So there are some people that speculated that his sister helped him. And then when at the end, you know, it came time to pay the piper, he killed his sister. And then he goes down to the bar and has a bunch of drinks, pretends he didn't do anything. Then goes home from the bar, calls 911 and says, "Oh my God, I came home from the bar and my whole family's been murdered." So that's the original story. Mm-hmm. Well, that case goes to court, and I'll tell you about that in a second. The family that moves in after gets the house for a steal, right? They're like, "Oh, nobody wants to buy this place, huh? We'll buy it." Oh,
can you imagine after the showing? Like, you walk in, so check out the grand room. Get out. How much? What was the asking price of this house? Oh, it's a steal. It's like $29,000. Why is it so cheap? Get
out. But that's the Eddie Murphy joke from Delirious, when he says that Amityville Horror would never happen to a black family, because they walk and go, "Look at this house, is beautiful. This is the most beautiful. I'm so glad it's our dream home. Our whole family can live here." Like, "Get out. Too bad we can't stay."
We gotta go.
Gotta go.
But gotta go. So not only did they buy the house, they were able to negotiate for every piece of furniture that was in the house when the family was murdered. Right?
And
what?
And they knew that the family was murdered in that house.
It was in the news. I mean, the guy was on trial for it, you know?
Yeah.
So they spent, I think, 18 days. It was less than a month. And they only spent, and their life went so down the toilet in those 18 days. And so the weird parts were the murders happened at 3:15 in the morning, and the guy who bought the house, George Lutz, he said that something woke him up every morning at 3:15, and he could not go back to sleep, and his dreams were like kind of tormented and stuff like that. And then, you know, it goes down further and further and further from there. So the question is, you know, did something happen and then they just embellished to write a book and make a movie and cash in? Or did nothing happen and they made it all up? But the real horrific thing is that that kid actually murdered his entire family, went room to room to room. I've seen the crime scene photos, right? And then he says, "Oh, I woke up every morning at 3:15 and heard voices telling me I had to kill my family." And then, you know, of course, later on, subsequently, he says, "Oh no, I made it all up. I didn't hear voices." But guess what? You all said that, the Son of Sam. "I heard voices." And then, "Oh no, I made it all up." So I often wonder, what if they really heard the voices? Right? Like, were you lying then? Or are you lying now?
Now.
When you see a homeless guy walking down the street and he's going, "I can't. I just can't. I can't." And he's just yelling and ranting and raving to himself about how he can't. "I just can't." Is there another homeless guy two blocks over going, "Come visit me at my cave. Come on, come visit me at my cave." Right? And they're having a telepathic homeless guy conversation.
Or is a god going, "You have to lead the people. You have to. I can't. Right. I can't.
Just, I gave you the cure for cancer. Write it down. I can't. I can't. I can't. But the you know, Son of Sam, DeFeo, lots of people have heard voices, and that's what the Amityville Horror is based on. It's based on the in fact, the first 10 minutes of the original movie showed the DeFeo murders. And then if you Google it, Google Ronnie DeFeo Jr. and George Lutz, L-U-T-Z, and you will see that those two motherfuckers look like they could be brothers in some photographs. So it's one of those stories where, okay, maybe blood didn't ooze from the walls, and maybe, you know, a vampire, two red eyes didn't, you know, look, but the priest who blessed the house certainly said he heard the words "get out" and walked into a cold room that was covered in flies. So, I mean, I don't know. So that's, I find that interesting that that's the real basis for that Amityville Horror movie. How about, let's see, Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, I've wondered about this one.
Yeah, I've wondered too. I'm going to say the premise of it is true.
I'm going to say false, and I'm going to say it's not. And I want to say that it may have been taken. The idea may have been taken from five or six different people in history or something like that.
Like profiles of.
Yeah. Of... like a bunch of profiles put together, and then he got, you know, took the best of, if you will. And then, you know,
okay, so Marco's the closest. It is some real life events that inspired Thomas Harris to write the story, specifically two parts. One, the idea that Jodie Foster has to go interview this monstrous, vicious killer with this superior intellect for the FBI profiling unit. Well, the FBI profiling unit, and even the character that plays Jodie Foster's boss, is based on a real person at the FBI, right? There were two guys that ran the profiling unit. Watch the show Mindhunter on Netflix if you want to see a dramatized version of how behavioral science became a thing. It's fascinating. But
I couldn't make it through that.
Yeah, it's dense, but former profession, I love that stuff. So with Jodie Foster and Hannibal Lecter, or with Clarice Starling and Hannibal Lecter, what actually happened was there was a serial killer operating in the Pacific Northwest called the Green River Killer, who would rape and murder prostitutes and then dump their corpses along the Green River, and they could not catch him. And they had a Green River Killer task force. Well, the Green River Killer task force, the head of the task force was a cop who received a letter one day from a young man who was incarcerated in Florida by the name of Ted Bundy.
Oh.
Ted Bundy said, "I've been reading about your guy. Come down and visit me and I'll tell you how to catch him." And
wow.
Then Ted Bundy literally told them, "You need to stake out, when you find a body, you need to not let on that you found it. You need to stake the body out and wait for him to come back and have sex with it." And they're like, "What?" And Ted Bundy's all, "Yeah, you have to stake out a body. Don't find it. Just leave it there. And if you want to catch him, stake it out and wait for him to come back and have sex with it." And they go, "How do you know he does that?" And Ted Bundy goes, "Because that's what I did."
Oh, Jesus.
Holy shit.
And from what I understand is that something, I mean, that you obviously, when you find a body, you can't just leave. Yeah, they had to recover it. They couldn't use Ted Bundy's sick and twisted idea to use a dead corpse as sex bait for. And, you know, let's be honest, you catch a guy having sex with a corpse, it's no guarantee he's the one that killed her in the first place.
This is true.
How fresh do you are
let
we
him,
talking?
Do you let him finish, or do you just interrupt?
Oh,
and I'm just and I'm saying, and how fresh are we talking here? You know what I'm saying? It's
day after, it's leftovers.
But Psycho and the Silence of Lambs have something in common, because the other half of Silence of Lambs that was based on a real person. There was a guy in Plainfield, Illinois, I believe it's called the Killer of Plainfield or the Butcher of Plainfield, named Ed Gein. Ed Gein, G-E-I-N, was the inspiration for Norman Bates, Leatherface, and Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Because...
Oh, she a great big fat lady.
Was she a great big fat person?
I get into dancing. I just can't even... I fuck me.
I fuck me.
I fuck me hard.
Rubs lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again. That guy. I've seen him play a cop in other movies, and I just can't take it seriously. I'm like,
he can't.
You have a lady in your basement. I know who you are.
You're not fooling anybody.
But so Ed Gein, his story, he's rumor has that he killed his brother, even though if you look at it, you're like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, that motherfucker. It's like Carol Baskin. Everybody knows that she fed her husband to the tiger. You just can't prove it.
Fucking right? Carol Baskin.
And Ed Gein killed his brother, and then his mom died, right? Now, tell me if this sounds familiar. His mom died, so he dug her up and took her body home.
Oh.
I.e. Yep. Norman Bates,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he kept his mother's severed head on his mantle. So, because he loved her so much, he didn't want to get rid of her.
Wow.
And then anytime he tried to have relations with a woman, he would end up killing him. And so when the cops got there, it's so stupid. He doesn't even have a high body count. What made him famous was when the cops got to his house, the stuff they found was like, what the actual fuck? So Ed Gein had serial, he would grave rob, and he would dig up skulls and then shellac them or whatever and make cereal, like bowls for soup and cereal out of human skulls.
I'd buy one, Etsy.
I bet you can buy one on Etsy.
Like, if there's one on Etsy, I might do it. I'm just saying.
Wait, no, legitimately, if there was if it said real human skull, would you do it? I understand a replica, but a real human skull.
I'm just thinking that my Fruit Loops would be that much better. You know what I'm saying? Like Toucan Sam. So you know what I'm saying?
Would he like just dome the top and then invert it and use the top of the skull as the bowl?
No, I think he would cut the top off and then seal off the bottom.
Seal off the inside. Okay.
Yeah.
You ever watch Indiana Jones?
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
Monkey's brains.
Ooh, a delicacy.
Yeah. So then they went in his garage and they found that he had been flaying his victim's skin off and was sewing a woman's suit in his barn out of real.
He's a man of many talents. Many talents.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he works in pottery. He works
in textiles, apparently.
Textiles.
The seamstress.
Wow. Archaeology.
He's a fine tailor.
But then the guy gets arrested and he goes completely quietly, like, oh, okay, sure, I'll go.
They take him
to the mental hospital and they lock him up for the rest of his life. Cause you know, at that point you take him to court and they're like, don't you know what you did was wrong? He's like, no. Why? You're like, okay, just lock him up and give him the Thorazine shuffle for the next 40 years. But everybody that worked at the mental hospital said he was the kindest, sweetest, gentlest, most unassuming man. He would talk to people. He was never had another outburst, never tried to escape, nothing. He just was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I live here now.
Wow.
Right. So
talk
that
about
guy,
accepting your fate.
Yeah. That guy inspired three different characters. Now, Annabelle.
Oh, that's 100% true. Yeah, and disappointing when you see the real doll.
The Raggedy Ann doll. Yeah, it's pretty.
The real Annabelle is not some creepy ass porcelain doll with a cracked face.
Not at all.
It's freaking, it's
Raggedy
just
Ann.
A giant Raggedy Ann. But you know what is creepy? The couple that investigated and have Annabelle in their possession to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Are the same married couple that investigated the Amityville Horror House after the family left the night that they said everything went to shit and the house tried to kill them.
Well, that's what they did. That's what they do, though. Like
they were paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, they're famous for their famous paranormal investigators.
Yeah. I did know that.
So now we've covered some of the movies. So now let's get into the fun part. What scares you more? A movie about ghosts and demons and the supernatural, or a movie about an unstoppable killer, but a human, like mortal killer nonetheless? What do you think is scarier?
Like in the real world, if like shit were to really happen, what would be scarier? Or are you
like
talking
as
like
you
just,
watch
just the
as you watch the movies and you think about the reality of it, or the theoretical reality of it, which would scare you more?
Me, it would be the supernatural.
See, for me, I think I think it would be for me, it would be the person, because I think to myself, this could actually like go down.
Yeah, but you could just freaking dome the fucker.
I don't know. You know,
a person can be shot and die.
Yeah, man. But
well, that's the fundamental flaw in most serial killer movies, like Michael Myers and all that stuff.
That's different. That's
rule number one: once he's down, chop his head off. Period. End of story.
Yeah, yeah. Burn the body if you could too.
Once he's down, you know, pull the, as Thomas introduced me to, I will continue pulling the trigger until I hear click and not boom.
That'd be yeah. Oh god, that movie's so good. So I'm with Matt, and I'll tell you why. I actually do believe very, you know, easily in supernatural stuff, right?
Sure.
Because of my religious beliefs, obviously, you know, let's put it this way. Anybody that believes in any form of God, any form of evil, and any form of devils or angels or ghosts, you believe in the supernatural. That's what that means, right?
Sure.
Right, right.
And if you believe, as I do, in the analogy that the brain is like a radio, right? And consciousness is the radio waves, right? Consciousness, your ability to think, who you are, your quote-unquote soul, those are the radio waves. All this, you know, skull with a little bit of gray matter in it, that's the radio. If you break the radio, the music doesn't disappear. It's still there in the air. It still exists because it didn't come from the radio to begin with. The radio just received it, right? So that was the greatest explanation of consciousness for me, is that your brain is basically the radio that's able to receive your consciousness, right? Take that how you want, but that's an analogy that worked for me. So if you destroy the brain and the radio has no way to broadcast signal, what about all those people that we always heard about growing up that had braces that could receive radio waves and only they could hear it?
Yeah. Right? Or the fillings, the old fillings.
Or the fillings, the old fillings.
Fillings. Yeah, yeah.
And we know that's true. We know that people could hear radios through their fillings and through their braces. So if that's true, then theoretically, shouldn't it be possible for somebody's brain to work in such a way that they can actually tune into, you know, the radio waves that maybe the person's body is gone, but their whatever it was consciousness might still be lingering around because it didn't go where it needed to go. That idea is both fascinating and terrifying, right? First of all, because I don't want to get stuck here. Like once I'm dead, I want to and for everybody listening to this podcast, if you've ever heard us say something or ask a question and you know the answer and you yell it at your phone or at your earbuds, that's what being a ghost must be like.
So when you guys were frustrated earlier with Matt and myself that did not know that movie reference, that's a ghost.
I don't think very many people were yelling Dirty Harry after I heard the answer. I don't think so.
I don't know, man. This is
not to say that we don't have smart listeners. I'm just saying I don't think a lot of people knew that.
I think he's just trying to say he's not that dumb.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's probably not a lot of people that knew that.
But here's the thing.
Metallica guy. Did you know that, Metallica guy? Let me know.
Metallica guy did not know that.
No. So here's the reason then. Is if you take all that into consideration, like Matt said, I have a fighting chance against axe wielding, voices hearing psychopath with the hockey mask, even if he is a supernaturally possessed, you know, form. Because if you destroy the physical presence, then theoretically, unless it's the Wolfman where it can or a vampire or whatever, you know. I can defeat that. Even vampires, they gave you the recipe. They gave you the formula, you know, how to kill them. But when it comes to like spirits and ghosts and all that kind of stuff, man, how do you fight something that you can't even touch?
Yeah.
So I think that's why that one scares me more. And here is the fundamental reason, which leads me to, as we close, the fun part or the funnest part, which is where I wanted to take this and why we started the whole discussion on what movies scared you as a kid. Have you ever had anything happen to you specifically or a direct member of your family that they have considered or you have considered a ghost or other unexplainable supernatural style phenomenon. Not, you're not saying it. I don't want you to say, yes, I believe in ghosts, or yes, this was supernatural, but it's a situation where you're like, I don't know what happened, but this was some freaky shit.
You mean other than the phantom chanclas? I mean, there is a phenomenon. There's a phenomenon in all of in all Latino culture, which is basically you still talk some shit and you feel the chancla either whiz by you and it raises the hair in the back of your neck, and you know that your abuelita straight through that shit from the great past the veil, like shot it through the veil and barely missed you. Or sometimes you feel it and you know you got hit from the other side.
Is this like when you go to the bathroom and you hear it and you feel it? Do you feel the poop and you hear the poop and you smell the poop and then you turn around and you look and there's nothing in the bowl?
It's gone.
It's gone. You even get the little phantom splash. You get a little splash that hits like your fucking taint, or you know, it's like a little poop. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, wow, it's like something happened. And you turn around and go flush. You're like, do I flush anyway?
So forget the phantom chancla. Have you ever had anything besides the chancla from the great beyond? Had ever had anything happen to you or a direct relative who has told you something that has happened to them that you would consider freaky enough to say, I don't know what happened?
I have.
Okay.
So I was, and I remember I was 13 years old. I was in my bed. I don't know what time it was because it was nighttime. I was sleeping.
Okay, hold on. A ghost did not give you your first boner.
No, I know that.
I can't right now. I can't.
If that's 13, where that was going, man,
we were well into that at 13.
Who's no, we? So, apparently, a ghost did give you your first boner.
No, we as in we. Us.
We? I didn't get a boner with you.
No, but you got one before you were 13.
Oh, the royal we.
Yeah, the royal we.
Okay.
Yes, the royal we.
Okay.
Man. Okay.
So boner. I'm kind of hurt. Anyways, 13 years old and boner.
13 years old boner.
You never got a boner with me?
All right. So 13.
Okay. Yeah. So 13. I wake up out of a dead sleep. I'm on my back. I'm completely paralyzed. My eyes are open. I can't move. So I'm kind of freaking out. All I see above me is a black, like, shadow figure. No face. No, couldn't tell male, female. What it was like, a person was hovering above me, maybe about a foot, and I'm completely paralyzed, can't move, scared shitless, and then it just disappears, and then I can move.
Okay. So
go ahead, make fun of it, motherfucker. Go ahead.
No, I'm actually going to go the opposite way, and I'm going to fuck your OODA loop up. What you experienced is not uncommon.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's actually very common. Yes. It's happened to me before.
It's called the sleep paralysis demon. And I'm not saying it's fake and it's all in your mind and it was just, you know, some bad Thai food. No. But what it's described as is...
That's racist.
it involves the inability to move and either auditory and or visual hallucinations and a strong sense of a presence, difficulty breathing, sensations of movement, and intense emotion, right? It's called the sleep paralysis demon. And I can guarantee you that at least 50% of our audience has had that happen to them because it is that common.
I've had it happen to me several. I've had it happen to me several times. So for a matter... And honestly, for when I was living at my cousin's house, Monkey's house, him and I both experienced it. And I used to experience it probably, Matt, once every 2 weeks.
What do they know about that? I've never heard of this before. What's the – this whole time? I'm going to be 45 next month. Since I was 13, I thought I had it. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I've never had it.
Okay.
Okay. But I can tell you that there's a podcast I listen to by a guy named Michael Heiser. And he's one of these guys that when the Ancient Aliens people, you know, come out, like the History Channel, how like during the day, the History Channel's like, look, it took these pyramids. It took human beings 3,000 years to build these pyramids. And then History Channel at night's like, no, fucking aliens, man. Aliens built them. It's like History Channel has two different people running that channel, right? So this guy, he goes on to shows and debates Ancient Aliens people and stuff like that and talks about supernatural stuff as opposed to ancient alien stuff. And his position is, I'm more inclined to believe in demons and giants and stuff like that than I am in ancient aliens. And he gives chapter and verse on why. But he has a podcast that, I mean, he puts out episodes less than Dan Carlin. And if you listen to Dan Carlin, you know Dan Carlin puts out like one episode a year, but it's 17 hours long. No, he does like Dan Carlin does like 3.5, 4, 5 hour episodes, and each episode is like four parts, and he only puts the episodes out like every several months. But this guy, he has a group of people that get together, and some of them are from the New Age world and some of them are from the religious world and stuff like that, but they discuss phenomenon, like supernatural phenomenon, like something as stupid and as simple. I love the episode they did. Can your dog really sense when you're coming home? Or does he just know because the smell has dissipated enough for him to know that when your smell level gets low enough in the house, they know it's technically time for you to come home. And so they talked about actual people that put cameras in their homes and did empirical research to find out if dogs truly can predict when their owners are coming home. Well, he also did an episode on sleep paralysis, and like literally half the guests from all these different New Age background, Christian background, religious background, a lot of them were like, yeah, I've had that happen to me. Absolutely. And the answer is nobody, I mean, they can theorize why it happens, all these sleep studies, all that kind of stuff, but they don't have an answer.
That's weird.
And not having an answer kind of scares me more.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's okay. It's that common. So we're going to call it the sleep thing, but it could be fucking demons or angels or what, or goblins or whatever, because you don't know. You can't say, well, it's not.
You, that's the thing. Like, you can't prove a negative, right?
Yeah. Just because it's happening to 50% of the population doesn't mean it's not something that it is.
Right. And I know a lot of people that haven't experienced sleep paralysis or sleep demons or anything like that, but have said they woke up in the middle of the night, they knew they were awake, and they saw their grandparent or a loved one who had recently passed away sitting or standing at the end of their bed. In fact, the host of that podcast, and for those of you who want to look it up, you should, it's called Peer Anormal, P-E-E-R-A-N, Peer Anormal, like peer research, because they use scientific peer, like if Dr. Venkman was writing actual papers, you know, the guy from Ghostbusters, if he was writing scientific journals, they actually read scientific journals that do experiments on supernatural research and discuss like the real and the not so real. But he said his parents told him about a time where after his grandfather had passed, they had one of those talking alarm clocks that would say, it's 12 o'clock, time to get up. And at 10 o'clock at night, the alarm clock just started talking and said, it's me, everything's fine. And his wife looked at, you know, his mom looked at his dad looked at his mom, and they both went, was that your father? Now, jeez. I've had shit happen to me. Marco, have you had shit happen to you?
Yeah, man. So you're just talking about the person who passed away. This is a little difficult for me to talk about. So, but I was dating and seriously involved with one of my exes, with a young lady, and she passed away while we were dating. And it was like three nights after she'd passed away, or four nights after she passed away. I was sleeping at home. And I felt I was woken up but not woken up. So I felt the foot of my bed sink in, and that's what woke me up. I felt the motion of my bed being
like someone sat down.
And I remember you could say it was my spirit, my soul, whatever it was. You know, I opened my eyes and she was sitting there and she was wearing this very specific top, this very specific, like kind of dress top, which was the favorite thing that she loved to wear. And she had her head down and her hair was over in front of her face. And anyways, so I remember sitting up and I sat up next to her and looked at her and she looked over at me and she looks really sad. And she asked me what had happened. She said, I don't understand like what's going on, what happened. And I told her I had to take a deep breath and say, you know, you died. You died in the middle of sleep. And she started kind of tearing up and getting sad, and I did too. And she said, I don't know what to. And I just said, you know, your grandparents are looking for you right now. They're around you. You just have to close your eyes, and you can feel them around you. And you know they're there for you. They're waiting for you, just to open your eyes and find them. And you know they're going to take care of you and help you out, and you can go from here. And she just looked at me and she says, "You know, I really love you." And I said, I thank you. I love you too." And I remember hugging her, and as soon as we hugged, we embraced really, really hard. And I fully woke up, and I felt her no longer around me. Like, you can feel people's energy around you, period. And I felt that she had moved on. I felt that she was no longer in this plane, if you will, for lack of a better description.
So let me ask this. Is your tendency to chalk that up to a dream, or is your tendency to chalk that up to, I have no idea what the fuck that was? Or is your tendency to chalk that up to, no, that shit was 100% real?
I'm the one who had to tell her that she passed away. She didn't know. That's how I feel about it. I feel about
right.
that she did not know. And that's, and how I chalk, and that's what happened, you know? So,
if you were to guess, it was a legitimate experience with the rest of her. Whatever was remaining behind that didn't understand what was happening.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I could tell you my experience. Well, the one that I will talk about, because I have about two or three that I could, but.
Yeah, same. I have a couple more.
Mark, you remember my grandfather.
Very well.
My grandfather was World War II veteran, bombardier. I've told stories about him on the show. The one that almost jumped out of an airplane without a parachute.
That's one of the greatest and kookiest men that I've ever had the pleasure of you know being influenced by.
Right, for sure. Great, great man. Not so great right after he came home from the war to his kids, but sobered up and became an incredible grandfather. So he told me, because we had this conversation, because my aunt is a very like, ooh, bless the house, spiritual, like crystals, kind of a, you know, kooky person. Mm-hmm. And then my other aunt is like, no, when you die, you're worm food and that's up, right? So I had all these different opinions growing up. And I asked him one time, because he was like the guy I trusted to give it to me straight. He never bullshitted me. And I asked him, I said, do you believe the same things that grandma or that aunt so-and-so or whatever believe? And he goes, I'll put it to you this way. I'll tell you a story. When we were living in Canada, your great grandmother, the one from Russia, was living with us. She was very sick. And she was basically in hospice, but at that point they hadn't brought her home to die. She was still at the hospital in bad shape. So my grandfather was, you know, sitting up downstairs, and the way their house was set up, it was one of those houses that's, you know, four steps up off the street and then a mud room and then the main floor and then a landing to the second floor and then another staircase to the attic. Well, my great grandmother lived in their attic, and my grandfather told me, he says, so that night your grandmother was at the hospital because her mother was very, very sick. And so I was staying home with the kids, and the kids were all, you know, 4, 6, 8, and 10, right? And it was before they had moved here. And he says, I remember hearing a door open upstairs because I remember thinking to myself, one of those little shits is out of bed because their mom's not home and I'm going to kick their ass.
That's pretty strong. You can't really argue with that.
So he's getting ready to kick spank their ass.
Them? I can't remember. Listen to the last episode. Spanking.
Well, it was my grandfather. Oh, it probably would have been a backhand. It probably would have been a warning and then a backhand, but he hears the door seems too far away to be second floor. Then he hears feet come down the stairs and he thinks the kids will be on the first floor, but then he hears more feet come down the second set of stairs. So clearly whoever was coming, and he's like, oh, the kids were fucking around in the attic because grandma's not home. So then as he's getting up to go to the stairs, he feels somebody walk past him, right? And then hears the screen door of the house open and shut, and then hears 4 footsteps going down the concrete stairs to the sidewalk, and then dead silence for 2 seconds, and then the fucking phone rings. And my grandfather's like, what the hell is happening? And he walks into the house and he picks up the phone and he says, hello. And it's my grandmother on the other end of the phone calling from the hospital. And she says, Bill, mom just died. And my grandfather, without missing a beat, without even thinking about it, goes, yeah, I know, she just left.
Oh, wow.
Oh, massive.
And he goes, I don't know what it was, but I can tell you that's exactly what happened. And the look on his face, there was no boo, there was no gotcha, there was no tickle tickle, there was no ha ha ha, there's your answer, kid. You want to know if I believe in it? That's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I find all that stuff fascinating and interesting, because for all of our speculation on, well, my grandfather was clearly imagining things, and Marco, you were clearly dreaming, and Matt, you were clearly just having some sort of psychological breakdown at 13, causing you to see a, you know, entity above you that was, you don't know.
Yeah.
So, all right. That ends our little Halloween special, since I wanted to start lighthearted, because I know we could talk about horror movies and stuff like that, but that set the tone that really got us in the mood to start getting our juices flowing to talk about like what has really happened to us. And John and I have both talked about incidents that have happened to us that are clearly, clearly defined by some sort of supernatural intervention, because there's no way that many coincidences can happen. So take it for what you will. This is our little Halloween special, right?
Ooh.
Ooh. So gentlemen, do you have anything?
I have a skull.
It was a long ass pause before the joke.
I got some bones. Well, I had to reach it. The skull was all the way across the other table. This is the good one.
You got to have your props handy, Ninja.
I got another one right here.
All right, Matt, why don't you take us home tonight?
All right. Well, you can feel free to reach out to us on our socials at the Facebooks and the Instagrams. Slide into the DMs there. Also email us at lockerroommailbag@gmail.com. And feel free to leave us a love or a hate voicemail at 626-692-5122.
And if you wonder why he was reading it, that you did. I was showing it to him on the screen and he had to read it backwards.
All right. Oh. Nailed it. Make sure you like and subscribe on the podcast and tune in. Hopefully next week we will have our regularly scheduled guest back on, because there's a couple of topics we really want to dive into.
It will either be QAnon part 3 to talk about if there's been any developments. And I wanted to say, I know we're running late, but I just wanted to say something. I actually got accosted on social media by a professional acquaintance who I considered a smart man, who listened, or maybe not listened is the right word, skimmed our episodes on QAnon and came away thinking that we were like, oh, this is 100% happening and blah, 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 blah. And this thing. I'm pretty sure the tone we set was, we're just telling you what we see. And
we're presenting information.
Right.
Here's the way the news used to. Yeah, the way the news used to. That we're not telling you how to feel or how to think about it like the news does now. We're just saying, here's all the information that we have. Now you go ahead and make your own decision. Do your own research and you decide what you want to believe.
And I'm saying that about Q to say that about this episode as well. You can believe in the supernatural or not. You can think when we die, we turn into worm food, or when you die, you're going to be part of the great spirit, or when you die, you're going to be Captain Planet's right thumb. I don't know what you believe, but we're just here talking about the horror movies that scared us as kids, the concepts, because clearly all these cultures, all these humans, all these people over thousands of years of history, we're all scared of the same thing. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And whether you believe in evolutionary biology, where, you know, our fear of demons and things that have forked tongues and horns comes from, you know, like snakes and fangs and, you know, that kind of stuff, or whether you believe that supernatural creatures really did used to exist, or whether they still do and we just can't see them, whatever, that's up to you. This episode was just to have some fun, talk about movies, and then show how the movies come from reality, and then how reality even has another level of, hey, everybody's had this kind of shit happen to them. And You may not know why, but isn't that part of why you watch a horror movie? To recreate that feeling of suspense and tingle and scary and kind of uneasiness of what if? So enjoy it, have fun, take it for what it's worth. And without further ado, on that note, until our next episode, we'll see you in the locker room.
Yeah.